Okay, so imagine you're at this like really high stakes auction.
Okay.
You really want this painting, right? And the bidding is super tense. But suddenly, someone in the back starts screaming out these just astronomical bids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like 1 million, 2 million.
Yeah.
And they whip the crowd into this absolute frenzy, right? Driving the price sky high.
Right, creating a total panic.
Exactly. But just as the hammer's about to fall, that person, they just sneak out the back door without paying a single dime. And they leave you to overpay based on, well, entirely manufactured hype.
Right, and you're stuck with the bill.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, imagine that exact scenario happening, I don't know, millions of times a second. But instead of a painting, they are manipulating the price of the electricity that's powering your home, or like the wheat that makes the bread sitting in your kitchen right now.
It's a pretty sobering thought when you frame it like that.
It really is. So, okay, let's unpack this, because today we are taking a deep dive into a system where the financial reality you see, the prices that you base your own decisions on, might actually be a complete illusion.
Yeah, I mean, we like to think of financial markets as these highly efficient machines, right? Machines that allocate capital based on genuine, publicly available information. It's supposed to be driven by basic physics, you know, supply goes up, prices go down.
Right, the invisible hand and all that.
Exactly. But when that machine is compromised by market abuse, you are essentially making choices in an entirely distorted reality.
And that is exactly our mission for this deep dive today. We are looking at a massive stack of sources, this really comprehensive global report on market abuse enforcement, the surveillance failures, and all these crazy emerging risks.
It's a dense report, but it's crucial.
Oh, absolutely. Because the goal here is to figure out exactly how modern traders are cheating this system, why the regulators and these massive banks are just struggling to catch them, and how technology is fundamentally rewriting the rules of the game.
Because, you know, the reality is when most of us think of market abuse, we picture that classic movie scene.
Gordon Gekko, right.
Yeah, the guy in the tailored suit whispering a hot stock tip in a dark restaurant. But the operational landscape today, it's far more complex, it's so much faster, and frankly, it's far more bizarre than that Hollywood stereotype.
Right. But okay, before we get into the bizarre ways people are actually cheating, I kind of want to look at the scoreboard first. Like, how are regulators actually punishing this behavior?
That's a good place to start.
Because I was looking at the original analysis in our sources, and it had identified about $1.9 billion in corporate market abuse fines. This is across nine major jurisdictions between 2019 and 2022, mostly driven by the U.S., actually.
Right.
And my first instinct was, well, okay, there's our baseline. They're cracking down. But you were digging into this data earlier, and it seems like the scoreboard itself is basically a mirage.
It's actually worse than just a mirage. I mean, relying on those headline fine numbers to understand market abuse is basically an exercise in futility because the data paints a highly misleading picture. Take the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, right? The SEC. For fiscal year 2025, they announced this staggering $17.9 billion in monetary relief.
Which, I mean, that sounds like an incredible, unprecedented crackdown.
On paper, yeah, it totally does. But you have to look at the anatomy of that number because that $17.9 billion included massive amounts that were tied up in a single long-running Ponzi scheme case,
Oh, wow. Okay.
plus a whole host of other offenses that have absolutely nothing to do with market abuse. When you strip all that extraneous data away and you adjust the total to focus purely on market manipulation and insider trading, that number plummets.
Down to what?
Down to roughly 2.7 billion.
Wait, from 17.9 down to 2.7? That is a massive drop.
It is.
Yeah.
And we see the exact same illusion across the pond, too. The UK's Financial Conduct Authority, the FCA, they recorded about £124.2 million in fines across all regulatory matters in 2025.
Okay, so a decent chunk of change.
Sure, but when you isolate just market abuse, they only fined 12 individuals who combined £1.77 million in the first year of their current strategy.
You're kidding. So if we can't trust the big, bold numbers on the press releases, what is skewing this data so badly?
Well, the report highlights several major blind spots, starting with just the sheer passage of time. Think about how long a complex financial investigation actually
I'm
takes.
guessing years.
Exactly. So if a regulator hands down a massive fine in 2026, that penalty isn't reflecting today's market risk. It's often punishing manipulative crating that happened, you know, 5 or 10 years earlier.
Right. It's ancient history.
Yeah, it tells you about historical misconduct, not what the algorithms are doing this morning.
So there's a huge latency issue, and I imagine, like, categorizing these crimes across borders has to be a total nightmare, too.
Oh, completely. One jurisdiction might explicitly label a trade as market manipulation, while another country just lumps it into this general bucket of fraud or systems controls failure.
Which just completely buries this specific crime in the data.
Exactly. And that leads to another critical distinction. Who is actually writing the check? The firm or the individual?
Ah, too.
Because often insider dealing is pursued directly against the specific rogue trader or the person who tipped them off. The massive bank they work for might not face any financial penalty whatsoever.
Assuming the regulators can't prove that the bank's internal controls were, like, actually deficient?
Right. So corporate fine data completely misses the individual bad actors.
That makes a lot of sense. Plus, I mean, a dollar amount doesn't really capture the whole punishment, right?
Mm.
The report notes that regulators might force a trader to give back their illegal profits, which they call disgorgement, but they also use non-financial penalties.
Right, which are often way more severe.
Yeah. If I'm a multimillionaire trader, a $100,000 fine hurts, sure. But being banned from the financial industry for life, or being sent to federal prison, that is a massive deterrent that simply does not show up on a bar chart comparing corporate fines.
Absolutely. And I would argue the most deceptive part of looking at fines is what the report calls hidden remediation costs.
Hidden remediation. What does that mean in practice?
Well, the check a bank writes to the regulator is often just the tip of the iceberg. If a major institution gets caught with systemic market abuse failures, they essentially have to rebuild their entire surveillance infrastructure from scratch.
Oh, wow. Meaning they have to hire armies of independent auditors, rip out all their legacy IT systems, and review, what, years of historical trading activity?
Precisely. And they have to compensate wronged customers, not to mention dealing with catastrophic reputational damage. The internal management distraction and the pure financial cost of rebuilding those systems, it often dwarfs the actual fine.
So judging market abuse by the total fines is essentially like judging how dangerous a highway is just by looking at the total dollar amount of speeding tickets written in 1 year.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, you're completely ignoring the fatal crashes, the suspended licenses, and the millions of dollars spent repairing the guardrails.
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, fine data is simply evidence of enforcement outcomes. It is a lagging indicator. It is absolutely not a complete measure of the actual day-to-day risk happening on the trading floor.
Well, those hidden costs and obscured numbers kind of beg a bigger question. If we can't trust the fine data to tell us what's happening, we have to look at the trading floor itself.
Right.
What exactly are these people doing today that is so hard to quantify? What does the modern playbook actually look like?
Well, it starts with the evolution of the classics. You still have insider dealing, right?
Yeah.
Trading while possessing material, non-public information, like unannounced earnings or the results of a pharmaceutical drug trial.
The classic stuff.
Yeah. But closely related to that and heavily scrutinized now is unlawful disclosure.
Okay, that's where you don't actually make the trade yourself.
Right. Say you are a corporate advisor or a consultant and you pass that confidential information to a relative or like a college friend and then they execute the trade. Very.
Yeah.
But where the modern playbook gets highly technical and incredibly damaging is market manipulation. This is conduct deliberately designed to create a false or misleading impression of supply, demand, or price.
And this is where the tactics start sounding like they belong in a casino. Because the report highlights wash trading, spoofing, layering.
Let's pull those apart, actually, because the mechanics are fascinating. Take wash trading. That involves transactions where the economic ownership of the asset never actually changes. You are literally trading with yourself across different accounts.
Okay, wait. So wash trading is basically buying your own book on Amazon thousands of times under different names just to manipulate the algorithm and make it a bestseller.
Yes, that is exactly what it is.
And spoofing goes back to my auction analogy from the intro, right?
Wow.
You yell, "I'll bid $1 million just to hype up the crowd," and then you run out the back door.
That analogy is spot on. In spoofing and layering, a trader enters a massive order to buy or sell, but they have absolutely zero intention of letting that trade execute.
They just want to create the illusion of intense market pressure.
Because they know other algorithms are watching the order book. High-frequency trading algorithms detect this massive fake buy order and think, wow, there's huge demand. I need to buy in right now.
Oh, wow. So they rush in, driving the price up.
Exactly. And the instant the price moves, the spoofer cancels all their fake orders, completely pulling the rug out from under the market, and then they profit off the new artificially inflated price.
It's entirely smoke and mirrors. And the report also details something called marking the close, which honestly feels even more insidious because of its ripple effects.
Oh, definitely. Marking the close involves trading aggressively right at the very end of a trading session. The goal is to manipulate the official closing price of an asset.
Just moving the final number for the day.
Right. And this matters immensely to the listener because that final closing price isn't just some random number on a screen. It is used globally to determine the value of massive derivative contracts, collateral requirements, and even the cost of physical commodities.
So it affects everything.
Mm.
We also have pump and dump schemes in here, which honestly feel like they've had a massive renaissance lately with all these retail investing apps.
They absolutely have. It's basically the modern version of boiler room fraud, but scaled up. Promoters use online influencers, social media platforms, private messaging groups
to just artificially inflate the price of some obscure asset, hyping it up to a frenzy.
Yeah. And then the insiders secretly sell off their holdings at the absolute peak before the inevitable crash leaves all their followers holding the bag.
So brutal. The report also touches on misleading issuer disclosure.
Right.
Which is interesting. This is when the company itself releases inaccurate or delayed information.
Right.
Even if no rogue trader is out there placing a spoofed order, just putting bad corporate info out there completely warps the market's ability to set a fair price.
And if you look at all these tactics, wash trading, spoofing, marking the closing, it highlights exactly why catching them is so difficult.
Because it just looks like trading.
Exactly. If a bank surveillance system just has a generic alarm for, like, unusual trading volume, it will fail constantly. Investigators need highly specific context. They have to understand the intricate mechanics of the market to separate a legitimate aggressive trading strategy from outright illegal manipulation.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because these tactics sound incredibly fast-paced. I mean, we are talking about algorithms reacting in milliseconds.
Oh, absolutely.
So how is technology supercharging these ancient scams? And what are the new arenas where this is playing out?
Well, technology has basically turned market abuse into an asymmetrical arms race.
Mm-hmm.
Take algorithmic trading, for example. A manipulative strategy doesn't just sit on one single stock exchange anymore.
Right.
An algorithm can fragment a manipulative order and distribute it across multiple venues, multiple accounts, and even multiple asset classes at lightning speed.
So if a regulator is only looking at, say, the New York Stock Exchange, each tiny piece of the puzzle looks completely harmless in isolation. They literally can't see the crime because they're only looking at one pixel of the picture.
Precisely. And that fragmentation leads directly to what's called cross-product manipulation.
Okay, what's that?
This is where a trader might manipulate the price of a standard stock on one exchange, maybe even taking a small loss on that stock intentionally, specifically to benefit a massive, highly leveraged position in options or swaps on a completely different, totally unregulated venue.
Wow.
Yeah, if your surveillance system isn't looking at both markets simultaneously, the manipulation is entirely invisible.
And we absolutely have to talk about crypto assets, too, because the report dedicates serious space to this.
Mm.
I mean, you have pseudonymous wallets, decentralized exchanges that operate outside traditional borders, and a market that literally never sleeps.
It's a wild west in many ways.
Now, it does note that the EU's MiCA rules, that's the markets in crypto assets regulation, they're starting to extend traditional market abuse expectations to covered crypto assets. But still, the operational challenge is staggering, which brings up a logistical nightmare for me. If the markets are open 24/7 now, who is actually watching the shop at 3 a.m.?
That is one of the most critical vulnerabilities right now. It puts a massive, unprecedented strain on surveillance teams. As the report points out, a system alert generated at 3 a.m. has absolutely zero value if there isn't a qualified human analyst awake to review it.
Right, because by the time the compliance officer gets to their desk at 9 a.m.
the manipulative activity has been running for 6 hours, the profit has been extracted, and the damage is done. The traditional 9-to-5 compliance model is completely broken in a 247 ecosystem.
Man, it's not just crypto, though, is it? The way information flows has changed across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Social media has totally altered how market sentiment is distributed. And the report mentions a fascinating, relatively new frontier, prediction markets.
Yes. Prediction markets are a huge emerging risk. They allow people to trade financial contracts based on the outcome of real-world events, you know, elections, economic data releases, even weather patterns.
And the enforcement concern here is unique, right? Because traders might possess non-public insider knowledge about an event's outcome simply because of their day job or their official role in government or industry.
Exactly. So the product they are trading is different, but the core crime misusing an informational advantage that the public doesn't have is exactly the same as classic insider trading.
It's exactly the same principle, just applied to reality instead of a corporate balance sheet.
Completely.
And of course, no modern deep dive is complete without mentioning artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the bad guys are using sophisticated tech. The banks must be using AI to catch them, right?
They are certainly trying. AI and machine learning are being deployed to spot subtle linguistic patterns in trader emails and chat logs, or tiny behavioral changes that rigid rule-based alarm systems completely miss.
That makes sense.
But the report issues a very strong warning about leaning too heavily on AI. It introduces severe model risk and something called the explainability issue.
Explainability. Meaning the AI flags a trade and says this is illegal manipulation, but it operates in a black box, so it can't actually tell you why it thinks that.
That is the crux of the problem. You cannot take a trader to court or even fire them based purely on an AI's unexplainable hunch.
Right. A judge isn't going to accept the computer said so.
Exactly. You still need reliable data, clear causality, and experienced human judgment to build a legally defensible case. Furthermore, if the AI isn't perfectly tuned, it generates a flood of false positives.
Oh, which probably just makes the problem worse by distracting the surveillance team from the real threats.
Yeah, they just drown in noise.
Okay. That brings us to what I think is the most baffling part of this whole report. If the regulatory authorities know exactly how these tactics work, and the big institutions have these massive budgets and sophisticated tools, why is this still happening so frequently?
Well, this is where the report gets really interesting.
Yeah, because the focus sharply shifts away from the rogue traders themselves and points the finger directly at the gatekeepers, the banks, the brokers, and the trading platforms, whose surveillance systems are just flat out failing.
And regulators are losing their patience with these gatekeepers. They are no longer just punishing the individual traders who commit the abuse. They are heavily penalizing the institutions for the surveillance failures that allowed it to happen in the first place.
Which brings up two real-world examples in the text that actually made my jaw drop.
Yeah.
In 2026, the UK FCA fined an investment firm £338,000. Why? Because transactions from a new direct market access platform weren't properly plugged into their surveillance system.
Yeah, it's wild.
Wait, so a multi-million dollar financial firm will literally buy a shiny new surveillance system, but completely forget to plug one of their actual data feeds into it?
It happens way more often than you'd think. It highlights this massive gap between the controls a firm has on paper and their actual operational reality. And frankly, £338,000 was a relatively small penalty. Yeah, look at the second example. In 2025, Australia fined a global bank subsidiary $3.88 million Australian dollars. Clients had placed highly suspicious orders near the close of electricity and wheat futures markets.
Oh, marking the close, exactly like we talked about earlier, manipulating the final price.
Yes. And the crazy part, the bank's surveillance system actually caught it. The regulator had even issued earlier warnings to the bank about these specific clients.
So they knew.
They knew. But the bank's internal processes completely failed to respond effectively. And for the listener, this is where it stops being abstract Wall Street jargon. By failing to stop manipulation in electricity and wheat futures, that bank allowed rogue traders to directly warp the underlying costs that determine everyday energy and food prices.
So how did these massive, well-funded compliance departments fail so spectacularly? The report outlines seven distinct failure points, but when you look at them together, it really tells the tragic life cycle of a failed alert. I mean, it starts with what we just saw in the UK, right?
Yeah.
Incomplete data and weak change governance.
Right. The data feed is either broken, missing timestamps, or the firm launched a brand new trading product but just forgot to hook it up to the surveillance system entirely.
Then, even if the data gets in, you have the third failure. Fragmented monitoring. Imagine like an alert flags that weird wheat futures trade in Australia.
Yeah.
The analyst looking at the trade data thinks it looks slightly odd, but they can't see the trader's chat messages because communications monitoring is handled by a completely different siloed team.
Exactly. So they never connect the dots of a coordinated attack. And this is compounded by the fourth failure, which is poorly calibrated detection.
Right. I imagine if I'm building one of these surveillance systems, my biggest fear is missing a crime. So I just turned the sensitivity all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
Does the report address that?
It does, and it's a massive trap. If you turn the sensitivity up too high, you generate thousands of useless false alarms.
And then what? The analysts just get alert fatigue.
Yeah, they suffer from alert fatigue and start treating everything like a glitch. But conversely, if you tune it too narrowly, you completely miss the complex cross-market conduct we talked about earlier.
And even if an analyst spots something real, we hit the systemic cultural problems. The report mentions weak escalation, which, let's say a 23-year-old entry-level compliance analyst spots a suspicious trade by a 45-year-old star trader who makes the bank millions of dollars a year.
That is the exact cultural friction they're talking about. The junior analyst lacks the authority, the deep market expertise, or simply the institutional backing to challenge that senior trader's explanation.
So the trader gives some highly technical, dismissive excuse.
And the analyst, lacking the power to push back, just closes the ticket.
Which perfectly explains the final failure point, focusing on alert closure rates over actual risk coverage.
Right, because management loves clean metrics. They want a dashboard showing that 100% of alerts were closed within 24 hours. But a fast closure rate is entirely meaningless if analysts are just rubber-stamping excuses, or if entire trading venues are living in a blind spot outside the system.
You are just efficiently closing tickets on the fraction of the market you can actually see.
Exactly.
So, to combat this dysfunction, the report says firms need to build a layered control stack. I mean, it sounds like a fortress.
It has to be a fortress. It starts with an enterprise-wide risk assessment, brutally identifying where your blind spots are, then reconciled data, ensuring every single feed is plugged in and tested.
Right. No unplugged cables.
Right. You need event-based surveillance, tying real-world news directly to trading activity, cross-market analytics looking at crypto, derivatives, and standard equity simultaneously.
You also need the integrated communications monitoring, right? So the analyst sees the trade and the chat message on the exact same screen.
Yes. And finally, accountable escalation, giving that junior reviewer the actual power and backing to stop a trade and report it.
So what does this all mean? We started this deep dive talking about distorted realities. And if we look at that Australian case with the wheat and electricity futures, it becomes incredibly clear that market abuse isn't just some victimless crime played out on a Bloomberg terminal.
Far from it.
It actively warps the prices of the real world, from the energy grid powering your house to the food on your table. And what's fascinating to me is how the regulatory lens is completely zooming out. They aren't just hunting the individual rogue trader in the dark restaurant anymore. They are auditing the entire institutional control chain to ensure the gatekeepers are actually keeping the gates.
That is the fundamental paradigm shift in enforcement right now. But I actually want to leave you with a final thought, building on something the report touched on regarding artificial intelligence.
Okay, let's hear it.
We know banks are trying to use AI to detect subtle linguistic and behavioral patterns that human analysts miss. But we also discussed AI's explainability problem, the black box, where it knows something is wrong, but it can't articulate why.
Right. It operates on this logic we can't fully unpack.
Now, flip that scenario around. What happens as algorithmic traders and autonomous AI trading bots get exponentially smarter? What happens when an AI learns how to manipulate a market using behavioral patterns that are so subtle, so complex, and so utterly alien that neither human investigators nor the best surveillance AIs can even explain how the manipulation is happening?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We could be facing a technological ghost in the machine, a market constantly manipulated by autonomous forces we can't even articulate, let alone prosecute.
A ghost in the financial machine dictating the price of our reality. I mean, that is a chilling thought to end on, but it perfectly captures the stakes of this technological arms race. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the hidden machinery of our markets, and we'll catch you on the next one.